हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभम् शांति 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 ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञ विभाग योगो नाम त्रयोदशोऽध्यायः। ओम समं सर्वेषु भूतेषु तिष्ठन्तं परमेश्वरं विनश्यत्स्व विनश्यन्तम् यः पश्यति स पश्यति।
Verse 33 today, Swamini. Verse 32, last week.
I like the shloks, how was it? We're finishing it today. Yatha yada sarvagatam saukshmyat यथा सर्वगतं सौक्ष्म्यात् आकाशं नोपलिप्यते सर्वत्रावस्थितो देहे तथात्मानोपलिप्यते। सो ब्यूटिफुल एग्जाम्पल इज गिविंग भगवान। यथा सर्वगतं सौक्ष्म्यात् आकाशं नोपलिप्यते सर्वत्रावस्थितो देहे तथात्मानोपलिप्यते। The 32nd verse again. अनादित्वा निर्गुणत्वात् परमात्मायमौयः शरीरस्थोऽपि कौन्तेय न करोति न लिप्यते। We saw here, Paramatma is there in every Shariram. Sarirastaha api, even though Paramatma obtains in every Shariram, in every body as the very innermost self, but Paramatma pervades everything. Paramatma is distinct from this body, mind and complex. Paramatma pervades everything, distinct from everything. Therefore, Paramatma does not do anything. Even though because of Paramatma essence, this absolute reality implied by the term Atma, which alone is said to be the absolute self, lends existence, consciousness, sentiency for the body. Because of the presence of Atma alone, body does. Body is involved in activities, mind is involved in functions. Everything functions because of the Atma. But Atma by itself, na karoti, it does not do anything. Therefore what? It is not lipyate. It is not tainted, touched by any punya papa. No doership, no enjoyership for the Atma. Therefore what? Now Bhagavan says, how it is. Already he said, nirgunatvat, anaditvat. See, Atma is beginningless. Beginningless means what? Causeless. Somebody has to mute yourself, please. So, no, beginningless, endless, changeless. And then, attributeless. Therefore, Atma does not do anything. But now he makes very clear again. Yatha sarvagatam saukshmyat akasham nopalipyate. Yatha sarvagatam saukshmyat आकाशं नोपलिप्यते सर्वत्रावस्थितो देहे तथात्मानोपलिप्यते। हियर यथा सर्वगतं आकाशं न उपलिप्यते। सर्वगतं आकाशं इन व्हाट? हियर आकाशं स्पेस। See, akashaha, akasham, is masculine word, neutral word also. Akasham, sarvagatam. The space is all pervasive. We know very well, space is the only element which is free from spatial limitlessness. Spatial limitation. Space alone is spatially limitless. Space alone is free from spatial limitation. But space also subject to time limitation. And space subject to object limitation also. But space is all pervasive. There's no place where space is not. In fact, that is one of the reasons in Sanskritam why space is called space, because that which shines everywhere is space. That's the beautiful meaning given in the Shastra. You know, why space is called space? Because space is all pervasive. Space is all pervasive. Why it is all pervasive? It is sarvagatam saukshmyat. Saukshmya means due to the subtleness. Sukshma means subtle. Saukshmyam is noun, subtleness. Sukshma, subtle, saukshmyam, subtleness. So due to its subtleness, subtlety, subtleness, saukshmyat, akasham na upalipyate. The space is not touched, tainted by anything which exists in space. Everything exists in space only. Nothing exists outside of space. But still, nothing touches, taints space. Space is not polluted by anything which exists in space. So, sarvagatam akasham na upalipyate, all pervasive space is not touched, tainted, affected, afflicted by anything in the space, does not become dirty, does not become polluted, affected by anything. Why? Because of its subtleness. It is too subtle to be affected by anything. Saukshmyate. Because of its subtleness, space, all pervasive space, all accommodative space. In Sanskritam, we have a beautiful expression. Asamantat kashyate iti akashah. Asamantat kashyate. Kashyate means shines. Kashyate prakashyate means that which shines. That which shines everywhere is space. Wherever you go, you have to land in space only. There's nothing outside of space. Therefore, space is called akasha. Ekad avakasha pradata. Avakasha pradata means that which accommodates everything. Which accommodates all. So, it is said here, because of its all pervasiveness, because of subtlety, it pervades everything. So, subtler the vastu, it is more pervasive it is. So, what? It is not affected, tainted by anything. He says, sarvatra avasthitaha dehe tatha atma na upalipyate. So, just as, yatha tatha means what? Just as so. Just as all pervasive space is not tainted, afflicted by anything which exists in space because of its subtlety, tatha, in the same way, sarvatra avasthitaha atma dehe sarvatra avasthitaha na upalipyate. Now what about atma, the consciousness? What is the atma? Atma is a word used to imply reality. The reality, abstract, formless, attributeless, beginningless, endless, changeless reality, which we arrive at in terms of its nature of knowing, therefore implied by the term consciousness, that reality consciousness, implied by the term Brahman or Atma, is all pervasive. All pervasive means what? It pervades even space. The space itself is not affected by anything because of its subtlety. But what about Atma? Atma is pervasive of space also. Space also enjoys its existence in Atma only. What is subtler than space? Space is subtlest of all the elements. Space is subtler than everything. But Atma is subtler than space. There's nothing beyond Atma other than Atma. Atma being, Atma is a word. Atma implies consciousness. The subtlest abstract reality obtaining in the form of consciousness implied by the term Atma pervades even space, even time. Okay, time does not exist outside of Atma. Space does not exist outside of Atma. Therefore, the whole Jagat exists only in Atma, and such an Atma is the subtlest. Space is subtle, subtler than everything. Atma is the subtlest of everything. Therefore, that Atma pervades everything. Atma pervades even space. Therefore, what happened? That's the Atma, because of its subtlest nature, being the subtlest, being all pervasive, Atma obtaining in every body is also what? All pervasive Atma obtaining in every physical body also, na upalipyate, is not touched, tainted by anything. No action, no result of action, no punyam, no papam, no pain, no pleasure, no pairs of opposites, no elements, no elementals, nothing can touch Atma. Why? Because Atma is the very existence of everything. Atma is the very truth of everything. How can any wave do any harm to water? How can gold do any ornament do any harm to the gold? Like that, Atma is the very existence of everything. Therefore, nothing can touch Atma. So it is said, sarvatra avasthitaha atatha atma dehe na upalipyate. So Atma is not touched by anything. Therefore, Atma is not the doer. Atma is not the enjoyer. Atma is free from, Atma has no punya papa. Atma has no pairs of opposites. But everything is Atma. Doer is Atma. Enjoyer is Atma. Experiencer is Atma. There cannot be a knower, doer, enjoyer, experience, jagat without Atma. Therefore, everything is Atma, but Atma is not anything. Atma is free from everything. Atma is not touched, tainted, affected by anything. Sarvatra avasthitaha dehe atma. Okay. Sarvatra means what? This all pervasive reality atma obtaining in everybody, every body. Sarvatra dehe means the only atma is there as the only truth of all the bodies. In every body, that Atma is not affected, tainted by anything. Atma is ever free. Yatha sarvagatam saukshyat akasham nopalipyate sarvatravasthito dehe tathatmanopalipyate. So yatha sarvagatam akasham saukshmyat na upalipyate tatha sarvatra dehe sarvatra avasthitaha atma na upalipyate. So saukshmyat is the reason why it is not tainted, because of its subtleness. That is why atma is said to be one. Atma means this consciousness, one secondless, indivisible, partless whole. Ekam, nityam, shuddham, advaitam. Ekam, advitiyam. Ekam, advaitam, advitiyam. One secondless, non-dual. Why one? It is one. You have to understand here. Atma is the only reality here. What about the forms, names, functions? All including body, mind, and complex, we have to say the material world which enjoys its existence in consciousness. Just as the opaque world of things enjoys its existence in the presence of light, the absolutely the entire universe, the universe of material objects enjoys its existence in the presence of consciousness. The universe does not have independent existence. Therefore, you have to say the whole universe is Brahma, Atma. Atma is distinct from the universe. For Atma, Satyam, Anatma, Prapancha is Mithya. Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya. and there it is not two. What is only Atma alone shining in the form of Anatma Prapancha. Atma shining in the form of Anatma, universe. There is no Anatma other than Atma. All that is there is only Brahma. Therefore, so it's free from what now? No. What about pain, pleasure, all pairs of opposites, ragaha, dveshaha? No, what about such shadripavaha, six enemies, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya? Hey, all these anger, pain, likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, all of these are emotions. Obtaining my thoughts, they enjoy their existence in Atma. Atma is not touched by anything. Like that's why space was given as the example. Next verse. Yatha prakasha yatye, beautiful verses. Yatha prakasha yatye kaha kritsnam lokam imam ravihi. Yatha prakasha yatye kaha kritsnam lokam imam ravihi. Kshetram kshetri tatha kritsnam prakashayati bharata. Kshetram kshetri tatha kritsnam prakashayati bharata. Yatha prakashayatyekaha kritsnam lokam imam ravihi. Kshetram kshetri tatha kritsnam prakashayati bharata. Yatha prakashayatyekaha kritsnam lokam imam ravihi. Kshetram kshetri tatha kritsnam prakashayati bharata. So here ravihi prakashayati ekaha, prakashayati ekaha yan sandhi. Prakashayat yekaha. Yekaha means one. What is yekaha? Yekaha ravihi. Yekaha suryaha. One sun alone. How many suns are there? One sun. There's so many stars. Sun is one of the stars, but sun is only one. Yekaha suryaha. Yekaha ravihi. Prakashayati. One sun illumines. Illumines what? Imam lokam. One sun illumines this world. Which world? Entire world. One sun alone illumines the entire universe, entire world. Imam Kritsnam Lokam. Kritsnam, not Krishnam, okay? Krishnam is different from Kritsnam. Kritsnam means entire. Imam Kritsnam Lokam Yekaha Ravihi Prakashayati. All Sanskrit students must be able to understand this sentence. Very simple kindergarten sentence. Imam Kritsnam Lokam Yekaha Ravihi Prakashayati. One sun alone illumines the entire world. This entire world. One sun illumines. Yatha, just as. Just as one sun illumines this entire world. Imam Kritsnam Lokam Yekaha Ravihi Prakashayati. Tatha, similarly, in the same way, so also, yatha, tatha, so also, he Bharata, Arjuna, kshetram, kshetri, kritsnam, kshetram, prakashayati, kshetri, prakashayati, who prakashayati, kritsnam, kritsnam, kshetram, kshetri. Kshetra means what? Kshetra means you have to say body, mind sense complex, the entire objective universe, everything kshetram only. And who is kshetri? The one who obtains in this body, mind sense complex as the experiencer. So, the Paramatma, Parambrahma Chaitanyam, obtaining in everybody's body, enjoying the status of experiencer. One obtains is what? This formless abstract consciousness, Atma. Kshetri, kshetram, kritsnam, kshetram, prakashayati. is Atma, all pervasive reality, obtaining as the experiencer, I in every physical body alone, obtaining as the innermost self of every being, illumines this entire Kshetram. Entire Kshetram. Sun illumines only the world of opaque things. Whereas Paramatma, obtaining in the form of consciousness, just by its mere presence, does consciousness need not do anything. Reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness by its mere presence illumines, knows the entire objective universe, thereby lends existence to this universe. Knowing is lending existence. Knowing is illumining. Why does Atma know? Knowing is not an action, very nature. If you ask, why does the sun illumine the opaque world? Sun does not illumine. It means, what does it mean? Illumining is not an action. By its mere presence, sun illumines the whole world of opaque things. Similarly, here Atma, sun illumines, that illumining is that's a different word. But here, Atma knows everything. Atma is conscious of everything. Why is it conscious of everything? Being conscious is the very nature. Being conscious of everything, knowing everything by its mere presence, by its very swarupa, by its very nature, Atma illumines the entire objective material universe, thereby lends existence to the universe. So, Kshetri Tat Krishnam Kshetram Prakashayati. Beautiful example here. Only Atma illumines the entire objective universe. So, sun does not move and undergo any change. Illumining is very nature. Similarly, Atma just by its mere presence, because Atma is all pervasive, it cannot move from one place to another place. So, unmoving is the very nature. Changelessness is the very nature. Beginninglessness, endlessness, changelessness, all pervasiveness is the nature. Therefore, Atma doesn't even move. So, just being by its mere presence, Atma illumines, lends existence to the world. How you have to understand Atma obtaining in every body, mind, sense complex, having the becoming manifest there. Atma becomes manifest in Antahkaranam. Manifest is what? Manifest. Atma alone becomes manifest as knowledge. So Atma obtaining in the form of manifest knowledge lends consciousness, sentiency to the mind, all the thoughts, thereby lends consciousness, sentiency to all the sense organs of actions. Atma pervades the entire body, mind, sense complex. By becoming manifest in the mind, it makes the body, it enlivens, energizes the whole body, mind, sense complex. Thereby, through sense organs, Atma lends existence to the entire Jagat also. So, Kshetri Kshetram Prakashayati, the all-pervasive reality, obtaining in every Kshetram, every body, manifest, having become manifest there, and it illumines the world. Illumines everything. Imam Krishnam Lokam Prakashayati. Okay. Kshetra Kshetra Gnayorevam Antaram Jnana Chakshusham Kshetra Kshetra Gnayorevam antaram jnana chakshusham bhota prakriti mokshancha ye vidurjanti te param bhota prakriti mokshancha ye vidurjanti te param kshetra kshetrajnayorevam antaram jnana chakshusham bhota prakriti mokshancha ye vidurjanti te param kshetra kshetrajnayor kshetra kshetrajnayorevam antaram jnana chakshusha bhota prakriti mokshancha ye vidurjanti te param. So here finally Bhagavan says kshetra kshetrajnayoho evam antaram ye viduhu. See, viduhu, veda viduhu means who know. Ye janaha viduhu, those people who know. Ye viduhu, it's a relative pronoun. Ye is a relative pronoun. Ye viduhu, those people who know. Who know what? Evam, in this manner, what? Antaram. Antaram literally means difference and distance. But here antaram means distinction. Antaram literally means distance, the gap. But here not a gap. Here it means distinction. See, there is no physical distance between kshetram and kshetrajnaha. Physical distance is not there. There is no distance between Atma, the consciousness, and the mind. There is no distance between consciousness and sense organs. There is no distance between consciousness and the body or pranas. There is no distance between any object. So there is no distance between knowledge and the known. There is no distance between knower, knowledge, and the known. There is no distance. What is the distance between wave and the water? What is the distance between illumining light and the illumined opaque thing? No distance. There is no physical distance between illumined opaque thing and the illumining light. Similarly, there is no distance between the knower Atma, the knowledge and the known. In fact, there is no knower other than the Atma. Therefore, there is no physical distance. You can never physically distance matter and consciousness. But still, matter has no independent existence. It is mithya. But still, matter consciousness is not distant, but distinct. So Krishna says, definitely distinct. Consciousness is not the matter, but the matter is consciousness. Why? Because matter has no independent existence outside of consciousness. So this distinct one who understands kshetra kshetrajnayoho antaram evam ye viduhu. Those people who clearly understand the distinction between the kshetram and kshetrajna. The knower is distinct from known, objective, material, universe, including one's body, mansions, corpus. The knower consciousness is different from the known entire objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense, complex. At the same time, this consciousness is not distant from the objective universe. The objective universe is consciousness, Brahma. But Brahma, Atma, the consciousness is not the Jagat. It's exactly like the whole ocean is water. But water is not the ocean. It is called distinction. You distinguished water from the ocean. Not physically, cognitively, intellectually, you distinguish and understand. So here also, the person who understands distinguishes the knower of the kshetram from the known kshetram, at the same time, who sees the whole known kshetram as the knower atma, and who resolved the knower known division also in the very Atma. Okay, one who understands the distinction between Kshetram and Kshetrajna, at the same time who sees every, there's no, Atma is free from both knower known division also. Kshetra Kshetrajnayoho Antaram Ye Viduhu. You cannot physically separate and see the distinction. How Jnana Chakshusha? Jnana Chakshusha means the person, those people who appreciate this distinction between Kshetram and Kshetrajna cognitively, intellectually. Now, cognitively better. Cognitively means through the eye of knowledge. With the eye of knowledge, jnana chakshusha evam antaram ye viduhu te bhuta prakriti moksham param bhuta prakriti moksham yanti. Bhuta prakriti moksham yanti. Bhuta prakriti moksham. Those people, they attain moksha. It means they can see, what about the bhuta? What about the prakriti? They can see this elemental material world, all the elements, the elemental material world also. There is no prakriti. There is no bhuta prakriti other than Atma here. Those who resolve the bhuta prakriti also as mithya in Atma, such people, what do? Param yanti. Bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye viduhu. They have to know two things. Kshetra kshetrajnayoho antaram jnana chakshusha ye viduhu. Those people who understand it clearly the distinction between the knower Atma and the known objective material universe, thereby who see there is no such a thing called matter at all other than Atma. It's called Bhuta Prakriti Moksha. Okay, those people who know, Te Param Yanti. The word Param and Moksham, you have two words here. You have to take Param as Moksha here. Te Param Yanti. Param Yanti means they attain the absolute end. They accomplish the most exalted end called Moksha. They become the absolutely successful people. Because they see Bhuta Prakriti Moksha means what? They do not see matter having its own independent existence other than consciousness. Therefore, those who boldly resolve the matter as consciousness, they do not see matter something different. Okay. Bhuta means what? The Bhuta Prakriti means the matter which is said to be the cause of all beings. That matter, the so-called cause and effect, the matter, the cause, and the effect in the form of the material forms, names and functions, which are modifications of the matter, the cause and effect both are negated as mithya in that Brahman. So, bhuta prakriti moksham cha te viduhu, cha means and. Not only they clearly see the distinction between Kshetrajna and Kshetram, they also see very clearly the whole cosmos being mithya. All the material, elemental, objective universe, what is their consciousness minus the entire objective material universe is what? Not minus. There cannot be Jagat without consciousness. If you distinguish water as the truth from the ocean, you have to say there's no ocean other than the water. Similarly, if you distinguish Atma from the Anatma, and there is no Anatma without the Atma, the whole Anatma is negated as mithya in the Atma. The whole Jagat is Mithya. This is what is said to be Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Pashya. Ye Viduhu. Those people clearly see the entire material objective universe being Mithya. Such people alone, Param Yanti, in whose vision all that is there is absolutely the pure reality in the form of conscious existence. Consciousness alone is in the form of the existence of the universe. So I am consciousness. I, the consciousness, am the existence of this entire universe. Means I is resolved in consciousness. The whole cosmos is resolved in consciousness. There is no I and this division or difference. You resolve the whole material universe in consciousness as Mithya. And those people alone, they become what? Free from all forms of limitation, free from the bondage. They become free from the bondage. They become free from, they have a vision of non-duality of the reality. And such people who have the clear vision of the non-duality of the reality, they become free from fear for good. If you see a second thing, there will be fear. Vaitadhi bhayam bhavati. Param yanti means they accomplish the absolute end of moksha. Freedom while living. They will attain also what? Videha mukti. They become free from the hold of phenomenon called fear for good. Because all that is there is only Brahma. There is no second thing other than Atma, Brahma Father. Okay. With this, successfully, we are completing the 13th chapter. Kshetra Kshetra Jnayo Revam Antaram Jnana Chakshusha Bhota Prakriti Mokshancha Ye Vidurjanti Te Param. Bhota Prakriti Moksham. Don't take the word moksha as moksha here. Bhuta Prakriti Moksha means people who see this entire universe being, Atma being free from the universe and the whole Jagat being not real. That's called moksha here, okay? Seeing the world, material, objective, universe being not real is what? Bhuta Prakriti Moksha. And such people, Te Param Yanti. They param yanmin, they accomplish the most exalted end of moksha. Kshetra kshetra jnayo revam antaram jnana chakshusha bhota prakriti mokshancha ye vidur te yanti te param. So ye viduhu te param yanti. Kim viduhu? Kshetra kshetrajnayoho antaram bhuta prakriti mokshancha ye jnana chakshusha viduhu te param yanti. So people who appreciate this fact of the whole cosmos being Mithya, who see distinctly the Atma, even though not distant from the Jagat, Anatma, who distinguish and distinctly Atma, see the Atma being distinct from the Anatma Prapancha, at the same time Anatma Prapancha being Mithya, and those people alone, how cognitively, Jnana Chakshusha, with the eye of knowledge, they attain Param, they attain the Param Yanti, they attain the absolute end. Harihi Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogo Nama Trayo Yodaha. Any questions from people? Ajay?
Hello, Swamiji.
Beautiful verses towards the end, isn't it, Ante?
Yeah.
Very beautiful verses towards the end. Of course, all the verses are beautiful. No questions? See, the important lesson last towards the end, I tell you. Where you say this is very important. See, reality or the truth. We use the two words. Reality or the truth. This reality, what is reality here? So that which lends existence to the Jagat is reality. So just as water lends existence to the ocean, that which lends existence to the universe is reality of the universe. So that which lends existence to time factor, space, and all the rest of the elements which exist within the realm of time and space, and the rest of the elemental forms, names and functions, living beings, non-living things, actions, accessories, real results of actions, experience of pairs of opposites, everything. This is a whole Jagat. That's why world are mobile and immobile beings. For everything, that which lends existence is the reality. That without which, presence of which, no action, no function, no experience, no Jagat, nothing is possible. That is what is reality. That is why you say Param Brahma Vastu. Vastu means that which alone is Vastu. The word Vastavam, we come across, all of us use the word Vastavam in all Indian languages, including Tamil. So Vastavam, that which alone is Vastu. And what about the rest of the world? Everything else is as though. Can you believe? The very painful, it may be very painful for you to accept this fact. Everything else is as though. How as though it is? If you remove the water, what is, where is wave? You have to account for the existence of wave. Wave is a form. It comes. It is there. It goes. Yes, it is goes. Wave and water. The two words are used. Which word has the meaning? You take the word meaning, water. There's, for the word water, there's a meaning. Remove the water. What is the meaning of the word wave then? Minus water. Remove the clay. What is the meaning of the word pot? Remove gold. What is the meaning of the word ornament? We use two words, gold and ornament. Which word has a meaning? Which word has substance? The substantive ornament has substance. The gold. The substantive gold has substance. Ornament has no substance. Non-substantial term. Pot has no substance. Clay is a substance. Therefore, there is no Jagat without Brahman. That is why it is implied by the term Brahma. Why it is Brahma? Because big. Big means what? No time, no limit, no spatial limitation, no time limitation, no object limitation. Because nothing which is not Brahman. When you say time is Brahma, when you are resolving time in Brahma, it's exactly like saying what? I'm giving a kindergarten example. This is the traditional example Shastram gives. Wave is water means there's no wave other than water. So it is equating. Wave is water means there is no wave other than water. Time is consciousness. Where is time? There is no time other than Brahma. Therefore, how can that reality which lends existence for the time be subject to time limitation? The time is just it's a concept that doesn't exist outside of consciousness. What about the space? You talk inexplicably vast space. Where is space? Space doesn't exist outside of consciousness. Space is object of knowledge. So, time and space are two important factors. Time and space themselves do not have existence outside of consciousness. Means, now you can understand which is subtler than what. So space is spatially limitless, but space has time limitation. And what about the elements and the elementals? They all have existence only. Nothing exists outside of consciousness. Means you have to see the whole matter. You reduce the entire objective universe, which is inclusive of your body, mind, sense complex, including ahankara. Okay? The knowledge of self-existence obtaining in the realm of thought in terms of I am. You have to include ahankara also in the objective universe. Is it clear? What is one thing which does it is not included in the world is what? See, with reference to ocean, water is not included in the ocean. Yeah, water is distinct from the ocean, but not distant from the ocean. Is it clear? Similarly, consciousness implied by the term Atma is not included in the universe, because the whole universe is Atma. At the same time, consciousness is distinct from the world, but not distant. Example sounds easy, but it is really subtle, much subtler. How do you say they are not two, they are not one. Matter and consciousness are not one. They are not one. But are they two? They are not two also, because matter has no independent existence at all. Therefore, you have to say what? Bhuta Prakriti Mokshancha. Okay? Bhuta Prakriti Mokshancha. It is mithya. There is no substance called Jagat. There is no matter. You have to say it is what is the most difficult equation is equating matter to consciousness. Matter is consciousness because matter has no independent existence. Consciousness is not matter, but matter is consciousness. When you say, and what about the doership, enjoyership, pains and pleasures, all possible within the realm of the matter only. Consciousness is absolutely na upalipyate. It is not touched by anything. Without the presence of consciousness, no experience of pairs of opposites, no doership, no enjoyership, nothing is possible. But consciousness by itself is free from everything. Therefore, the doer, enjoyer, experiencer, everything is Atma. Atma is free from everything. The person who understands this fact, how the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, which alone is in the form of existence of the consciousness, is in the form of existence of the whole jagat. Chit is in the form of sat of the whole. That consciousness is not distant, not distensible, but distinct from everything. The person who understands that is what? Kshetra Kshetrajnyoho. Antaram. He understands the distinction. At the same time, he sees the whole jagat being mithya also. He sees what is there is only Brahma. And Aham Brahma Asmi. It's not enough if you say simply only Brahman is there. You have to resolve that, because you arrive at reality in terms of its nature of consciousness as the very truth of I only. There's no way of arriving at the Atma. You have to arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of consciousness as the very content, as the truth, the knower of, very surupma of the knower, experiencer, I. Then you have to have what? I, the knower and consciousness, the existence of the whole. Therefore, I am the whole. If a person has this vision, when he says you must have shifted definitely, you see the fact you are objective towards the body, mind, and complex also. It's not to say I am somebody big and I am nothing and nobody else is big. You don't see the other jagat is revealed for you, because it is everything is you. Such a person, those people param yanti. I think this is the best class, best thing. I don't think you can do anything more than this. If you have any questions, you can ask me. I have done my justice. Sometimes I may be asleep in the class because of too many class, but today I'm very fresh. Because if you get to 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm very fresh. Any questions? No questions. Okay. So, we have to study 14th chapter. It is the, big, it is the beginning of the 14th chapter. Always, whenever I start, I do the 13th chapter, I have seen many places. In India, I taught, many places I taught. Whenever I come to the 13th chapter, some obstacle will come, I would not be able to finish it. It happened many occasions, many times. Including my students, London students. I was sitting in Devima's house, I think it came up to 13th chapter, I had to stop the classes. Something happened. I didn't stop, of course I continued, that's a different thing. Always I had a big obstacle in the 13th chapter. I do not know what it is. But by Bhagavan's grace, this time also Corona has come. I could not meet all of you. I'm away from all of you. But still, thanks to Zoom and all of them, we could finish this 13th chapter. We have to enter into 14th chapter. See, you must remember, as we proceed further, never forget. See, knowledge or consciousness manifests is Jagat. And the knowledge or consciousness manifest alone is said to be Ishvara. What is Ishvara? Because don't lose sight of this concept of Ishvara. Because without Ishvara, understanding also is not possible. Finally, you have to understand the reality where you negate even Ishvara. But what is Ishvara? What is that which is given the status of being God, the Lord, Bhagavan, Ishvara? It is the reality manifest alone is given the status of being the ruler, Ishvara. Okay, knowledge is power. Knowledge is the ruler. Manifest knowledge, manifest alone is given the title of Ishvara. There's nothing beyond the source of knowledge. What is beyond the source of nothing beyond source of knowledge? What is that which is beyond everything is the reality. And that reality you arrive at only in terms of its nature of knowing. Only in terms of its nature of knowing. That is why you have to say reality is of Jnanam Brahma. You have to say that. Jnana Swarupaha Atma Arive Devam Nunnunarvu Consciousness, Thiruva, as Manikavachar says. Nunukkariya Nunnunarvu. So what I'm saying, this knowledge manifest is Ishvara. And the knowledge manifest knowledge alone is behind the knowledge order. There is an order, cosmic order. The cosmic order, when I say why space is the way it is, why time is the way it is, why sun, the moon are the way they are, why every planet is in its own orbit, why it moves, why anything is the way it is, why a tree is the way the tree is, why a bird is the way it is, why a frog or snail is the way they are, why our heart or lung are the way they are, why it is the way it is. Can we change anything? We do all this plastic surgery that people are doing. We only reduce or we can make it bigger, sharper. You can't remove the nose from the put at the back. No plastic surgeon can succeed in that. Remove the nose from this side and put at the back. Or let me have one eye this side, one eye this side. Why can't we change? All plastic surgery, all scientific developments. You can only understand the order involved in all the functions. Thereby anything, the disorder happens, the disorder can be brought back to the order. You can try to correct the order by understanding the order, not by changing the order. This important lesson. We cannot change the order. We do not have any say over the order. Everything has to be the way it has to be. That order is perfect order. Is it clear? We have to understand that. What do all our studies is only to understand the order. In any discipline, you understand the order involved in every discipline. And that order cannot, does not exist outside of knowledge. So all of the doctors who are working, they can only understand the order, they can only, thereby they can work on, when something goes wrong, the disorder can be corrected. They cannot change the order. So, the order is involved. Knowledge is back in the order. So, all the functions are all lakshanam. Every function is a lakshanam. Lakshanam means what? It is the indication, the clue through which you understand what is that because of presence of which this function is possible. That becomes, Atma becomes the Lakshya. Okay, every function becomes the Lakshanam. I don't want to translate this word, the Lakshanam and Lakshya. Atma is Lakshya means, Atma is implied. Atma is not an object of indication or implication. Atma is the very truth because of the presence of which seeing, hearing, all functions are possible. Every function becomes the lakshanam for the Atma. You don't see Atma through physical eyes. You can't objectify it. Understand? And the Shastram gives the clue. If as a human being, you're the only being in the universe, you are capable of, you're blessed with the capacity to understand that Atma, arrive at that Atma, not as an object, not even a subject. You are given the clue to search for it as the subject. Shastram gives the clue. Okay, search for the Atma as this knower. Once you arrive at as the knower, you search for it, you arrive at it, you understand Atma is not even the knower, not even the known. The Atma is lends existence to both knower and known divisions, mithya divisions. There's no real division, absolutely there's no division. And this is what the mind can arrive at absolutely. The mind cannot find out which more than something more than this. Why? Because now mind arrives at the Atma, mind arrives at the very truth of the mind. When the mind understands anything else in the world, it only understands as one smallest, tiniest, thinnest layer of order of Ishvara. If you try to understand anything in the world, you are trying to understand the thinnest layer of order of Ishvara. When you understand your own Sarupam, you understand the very Sarupam of the mind, which is the only Sarupam of the whole. That is where you can resolve your individuality. Over Ishvara. Jagat means there is no Jagat, there is only Ishvara. The whole Jagat is Ishvara. Because knowledge. Ishvara is knowledge. Knowledge manifest is Ishvara. Knowledge manifest is Jagat. The Jagat is Ishvara. Where is Jagat for you? Where are you? When you see the body, mind, sense complex and yourself as part of the whole, where are you? Just all that is there is only Ishvara. And Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. It's only Bhagavan when you say there's Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. You are not even here. You means, as an individual, okay? You resolve the I in consciousness, resolve the body, mind, complex in Ishvara, you see all that is there is only Ishvara. And the source of that manifestology is Brahma. So you can say all that is there is only Brahma, or all that is there is only Ishvara. Jiva, Jagad, Ishvara, all the three Vedas, you are resolving cognitively. Intellectually resolve the Jiva, Jagad, Ishvara, Swarupa, Aikyam. Resolve the three in one as Mithya. That vision gives you a different perspective. And one needs to have highly sensitized, sensitive, subtlest mind to appreciate this fact. We don't understand why some pratibandha it will take. I just continue with the prayer, it will become much clearer gradually. It's okay? Okay, let us see. Let's begin the 14th chapter and stop the class. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogo Nama Chaturdashodhyayah Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogo Nama Chaturdashodhyayah Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Param Bhuyah Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanamuttamam Yajnatvamunayas Sarve Param Siddhimitogataha Param Bhuyah Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanamuttamam Yajnatvamunayas Sarve Param Siddhimitogataha. So, the title of the chapter itself is very interesting title. What is the main topic that is discussed in this 14th chapter? Chaturdashaha Adhyayaha. Chaturdashodhyayaha. Please make a note. Chaturdasha 14. Chaturdashaha 14th. You put the visarga, it becomes a 14th. Chaturdashaha Adhyayaha. What is the main topic discussed here? Gunatraya Vibhagaha. Gunatraya Vibhaga forms the topic of the chapter, subject matter of the chapter. Therefore, the chapter is known as Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogaha. The word Yogaha, I told you many times, from here the word Yoga means the topic, the content, subject matter. Gunatraya Vibhagaha. So, Vibhagaha means, you know, distinction again. Gunatrayam, a set of three gunas. A set of three gunas is said to be gunatrayam. Trayam means a set of three. Trini means three. Trini, tisraha, trayaha means three. But here trayam, dvayam, dvayam. Trayam means a set of three. So gunatrayam, a set of three gunas. We know very well what are those three gunas. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. It's very natural. The whole, what three gunas actually are the gunas of Shakti. Three gunas are nothing but three names given to three manifest powers. Three gunas are three names given to threefold manifest powers. And gunas means what? Gunas means gunas belong to only matter. So gunas belong to matter only. Atma is said to be always nirgunaha. Atma is absolutely free from all gunas. Nirgunaha, nirgunam brahma, nirguna atma means what? Atma is free from all these gunas. So understanding three gunas is what? Understanding the matter only. So the three gunas belong to the matter. Therefore, three gunas, the whole jagat, everything is three gunas. Everything in this universe has three gunas. Trigunatmakam jagat, The whole jagat, there's nothing which is free from trigunas, because everything is matter, material forms. Like karanasya gunaha karye anuvartante. The attributes of the cause will be seen in the effect also. The gold is shining and yellow, glittering. Ornament also shining, because the cause, the whatever the quality the cause has, effect also will have. So the whole jagat, everything in this universe has three gunas. You can say trigunatmakam jagat. So those three gunas, what are they? So mind also, of course, mind, body, sense organs, objective universe, everything is gunam, three gunas. So three gunas are three names given to threefold manifest powers. And which should be predominant, which should be how. So what are those gunas, etc. Very clearly you understand. This time you will have thorough understanding of gunas in the 14th chapter. Again, understand Ishwara also better. The manifestation of gunas means manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge manifested on is what? Gunas are there. Because without my knowledge, the gunas cannot exist independently. All the gunas are Brahma. But guna, Brahman is free from gunas. Nirgunam Brahma, Nirguna Atma. So there is power of knowledge, power of activity, the power of inertia. Three powers. We can say Dravya Shaktihi. Dravya Shaktihi means power of inertia. Jnana Shaktihi, the power of knowledge. Kriya Shakti, power of activity. The power of inertia, power of knowledge, power of activity. Three powers manifest and become what? Three gunas. Just if you go and search for gunas, you won't find it. Three gunas are just the names given to the three powers. You can see these three powers being manifest in everything as three gunas. So we'll do in detail next class. Okay? We'll just start the class. Next class we'll start. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Hari Om.